Welcome, 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 Wahoo fans, to this week's edition of The Lockdown featuring T-Cub and the Ball Hawk. Special guest this week, we have former Cavalier great Super Bowl champion, Juan Thornhill is in the building. What's good, fam?
What's up with y'all, man? How y'all been living?
Man, just day to day, bro. You know, 50 week plus tips, bucking for a raise, bro.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, man. I appreciate y'all having me on here, though, for sure.
Oh, man, it's great. Great to have. Thank you for blessing us, bro. It was good to lay my eyes on you last week, put my arms around you. It's been a long time, fam.
I know, man. It's been a while. I mean, I came back when we played Virginia Tech, but I don't think I had a chance to really see y'all, though. But no. It was good seeing y'all this past weekend.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So shoot, bro. We appreciate you taking the time, bro. I know you're busy. Mm-hmm. Know y'all about to start OTAs. You getting your training on. So we're going to just jump right in, man. Just briefly, put it on me, bro. To come into the league your first year and go to the damn Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been in the league 3 years and you've been to the Super Bowl twice. That just don't happen.
Should have made it back this year, but I mean, we got plenty more opportunities. I think we'll be back for sure.
Yeah, how was that though, man? Coming out as a rookie, balling out. I mean, bro, look, we knew off top. Like, look, Kansas City got him for a steal in the second round because it was no mm-hmm. question first round talent. Got you in that second round, man. You went in there and hit it guns blazing. I mean, how was that, man? How was that transition from you coming from college to pros and starting as a rookie?
I mean, I would say it's really not that big of a difference, honestly. I mean, at first I was like a little worked up, trying to learn the playbook, trying to see how everything was going to go. And I thought that like playing at the NFL level would be like a lot harder, but I kind of shocked myself in a good way because like I went in there playing against some of the guys and was covering them. I'm like, all right, this is that top guy. But I can play with these dudes. Like, I kind of shocked myself because I feel like I was going to have to be better than I was in college to compete with those dudes. But I saw that I was actually, like, one of those guys myself. You know, I'm out here covering, like, big-time guys, and it wasn't anything, like, incredible. But that transition was, I mean, it was amazing, honestly, just, like, coming from Virginia. I mean, football at Virginia is like, it's growing. It's not where we want it to be yet, but I feel like we have an opportunity to get it there. But then coming to Kansas City, where it's like, there's none of us out here, but just strictly football. Like the fans, they love you. I'm talking about a training camp. It's like a game each and every single day. So, I mean, it was really cool, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask the question. I know what everybody want to know. First time you see Tyreek Hill take off. What went through your mind?
I ain't gonna lie to you. The first time I saw it, I was thinking I could run with him because, like, I've never seen speed like that before in my life. But then the second time, I was like, all right, this dude got different speed. Let me back up a little bit. I got to open up probably when he's 10 yards away so I can run with him. But yeah, that guy was blazing, man. It's definitely a different type of speed, like something that I've never seen before. And I played against, I forgot the guy's name. He was out in Oregon. I think he was like an Olympic track runner. And his speed wasn't even like Tyreek's.
Who was it? Last name Anthony.
I can't remember. I remember playing against him that he was like an Olympic hurdle runner, something like that. I don't know.
I know who you're talking about, but I can't remember his name. I know you're talking about.
I can't remember his name either. Yeah.
Don't want to.
Bro, I'm telling you, none of us have seen speed like Tyreek Hill, bro. I couldn't imagine being out there, being back on that hash, let alone being up. Look, I got to try to get my hands on him something because, bro, I need help. I'm like looking at the safety like, help, help, lean this way.
Help me, please.
Lean this way.
But the thing is, though, you said you're looking at the safety. I am the safety. So imagine him running at you and you yeah. know what, nobody else to help. You know what yeah. I'm saying?
Yeah, he had top speed by the time he gets to you, though.
Oh, yeah, full speed, blazing. Burning 4.2 easily.
Ooh, goodness gracious.
Easily. I'm talking about that's on a bad day, probably.
Wow.
And you're not a slow dude either. That's what's so crazy.
No. That's what I'm saying. I feel like I got some top speed for safety, but like I said, 4.2 on his bad day is still blazing. He can blow by you at any point in time.
Wow. Yeah, dude, I think, you know, when you talked about the adjustment and the transition. I think for me, when I came into the league as a rookie, I was similar to what you were. I wasn't as fast as you, but I was very similar in my thought process that I was like, okay, I read about all these dudes, but I feel comfortable in my space, you know? And so I'm out there just banging these dudes, talking trash, just like I did in college. And the dude that was a veteran, I was his rookie, Ricky Reynolds. He looked at me, he was like, man, we ain't had nobody like you around here in a long time. Cause I mean, you know, bro, I just love to play the game. I'm gonna talk that trash just like I did all my life, and I'm gonna back it up, you know? And so the game seemed like it slowed down for me. I mean, I would see certain things. I'm like, I know he's not gonna throw that ball. I'm standing right here. And you know, it would happen. And I'm like, okay, this is straight, it's odd. And then when I remember going to see Virginia, they were playing in the Gator Bowl that year, and I went to see them practice. They were practicing. It looked like they were doing a walkthrough, bro. I was just like, are they walking? Because the speed, that's the difference. The speed at the pro level is just insane.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I don't know if it's like speed, because like college, they got some fast guys out there too. College and NFL got some fast guys. It's just put the margin of error is so small. Mm-hmm. Like, you make one false step, you get exposed, like it's amplified. That's what I feel like it is at the NFL level. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. But you do have to remember, I'm old, so they wasn't as fast as they are now.
Yeah, the game
a little bit different now.
Yeah. The slow guys running 4 or 5.
Exactly.
You run a 4 or 5, they're looking at you like you slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and the guy's ability to process information, man, make it so much tough. Like you said, the margin of error, quarterbacks can identify coverage quicker, DBs, receivers, like everybody's identified things a step faster. So you got to speed up as well. So, yeah, man, it is ironic when you play professional and you come back to college, like, oh, man, was it always this speed?
Yeah, because, that's how I felt when I was out there this past weekend. I was watching them, because when I was out there, I was like, dang, everybody looked real fast. But then when I watch the game from the side, I'm like, they don't look like they run it fast. They don't look like they're trying hard.
But I know that they try hard. It's just the game has slowed down. Because it was the same exact way when I went back to watch a high school football game than it was in college.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, indeed. So back to your first year, Juan. Bro, I started 16 games, had an all-rookie season, and then blow your knee out December 29th. Put in all that work, you blow your knee out, bro. How traumatic was that? And that was the year you guys won the Super Bowl and you couldn't be a part of that. How traumatic was that for you, man?
I mean, that year I was on a high because, like, I was performing really well. Like you said, I had an all-rookie season. And then, like, I felt invincible because, like, in college, I didn't really have any injuries. Like, I had some small, like, a twisted ankle and I play, like, next week or something like that. But it was just something that happened, and it kind of shocked me because, like, I was just running through a hole. I'm talking about the hole opened up. Like, it was wide open on a blitz. I saw Phillip Rivers, like, looking away from me. So I'm thinking I'm about to have a kill shot. And, like, I literally just ran through the whole step. Me gave out. And it after that, like, as soon as it happened, it crushed me because I knew the playoffs was right there. And then I knew that we had a real good chance to go to the Super Bowl because I'm talking about, like, the second half of the season we were – I'm talking about punishing teams. Couldn't nobody really keep up with us. And I was like, yeah, we definitely got a good shot to go. But then tore my ACL and I was devastated, man. Like, it was definitely the hardest time that I think I've ever been through just because of the fact that I knew I was literally a couple of games away from being in that playoff run. And then when I had to get surgery, I was having to watch the games, like, at the hotel. I was out in Dallas getting my surgery. So the first game, I think it was Houston. I was watching that game. That game was horrible. Like, I'm talking about our safeties blowing coverages and everything. And I'm like, that should be me in that position. Like, that shouldn't happen. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm feeling like we're just about to lose that game because we're down 24-0, like, fast. And I don't know how our team turned it around and won that game. But I'm so happy that they did, though. But it was hard, man. Like, just sitting there watching it from the hotel. And the part that really hurt the most is when I went to the Super Bowl, I wasn't allowed on the sideline with the team because I had just got my surgery. So I was sitting in the stands, just watching, like, right at the tunnel. And it killed me when they ran out the tunnel. And I'm just sitting there just watching them, like,
you know, that's your childhood dream is to play in the Super Bowl. I mean, some people just to go, but I had the opportunity to play. And then, like, I'm sitting there just watching them warm up, man. Like, you can ask, like, my girl, I was sitting there, I was quiet. Like, I wasn't saying a word, like, the whole game, because I just know, like, I wanted to be on that field, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How much did it drive you? How much did that give you the impetus to really just, yo, I got to get back? I mean, you got the chip, bro, Super Bowl champs. You were part of that. You were a major part of them getting that championship. How much of a driver was that for you in your rehab and in being ready to go for season two?
Oh, it definitely accelerated, like, by far, just because of the fact that I came back. I think I was back on the field, I think, like, 7 months, I think. So, you know, the ACL usually takes, like, 9 months, but I was back in 7 months. I was just so determined to get back on the field, man. It was eating me alive because the whole summer, I'm in a facility by myself. I don't see anybody. And, like, I'm just working by myself on my knee, and I'm thinking, like, well, you got to get back on the field, get ready to perform, because, like, not being able to, like, go to practice, not being able to be on the field, it just eats you up inside. And, like, you know me, I love the ball. Like, just sitting there watching it, I can't do that. Like, that's just not me. I got to be on that field.
Bro, I feel you, man. It's eerily – our paths are eerily similar. I mean, you were with a good team. Mine was trash. But coming off of all-rookie season my first year and then blowing my knee out the first game of my second year, about to sign a brand new contract the Monday after the game, and blew my knee out that game. So yeah, bro. So I understand the loneliness that you're talking about, bro. Cause nobody can help you with that part. You got to work your tail off to get back. And that's the real part, for sure. For sure. So then let's talk about, that second year, man. I mean, going back into it, you know, when I rehabbed and came back, I busted my tail so much because I didn't want to be thinking about my knee. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, I was way ahead of schedule. So I had surgery September 9th of that year. By Thanksgiving, I was at home in North Carolina at my high school, running hills by myself, 32 degrees, rain, won't no social media, won't nobody out there but me. But that was just the grind, you know, because I was just like, nah, I am not going to be thinking about this when it's time to come back. Tell us about, you know, that drive, you know, what were the things that you were thinking as you were trying to work your way back?
The main thing with me, I just wanted to be myself, like, back to the level that I was. Because, like, I hear all these, like, crazy stories about how guys just, like, don't recover from it. I had Tyron in my room. He had been through it twice. So, like, he knew what it was like. He was telling me all the stories, like, you need to get this right, you need to get that right. But the main thing is I just wanted to, like, be back to myself and just push myself so I can be back on the field game one.
Gotcha. And then, bro, when you came back, did you feel the progress was a little slow? What was the thing that happened that said, all right, I'm ready, I'm back in full?
I'm going to be honest, like, my whole second year, I think I rushed myself back because, like, I was just so hungry to be on the field that I just, like, all right, I'm going to play through the pain regardless of what goes on. And I feel like I came back too early because my second year, I didn't perform well. Like, I didn't have a bad season. I just didn't play like myself. I wasn't like super explosive and everything was just like, I was a step slower.
Mm-hmm.
So like, that was the main thing with me, man. Like, it was just, I mean, I just had to get my mind back right and trust in the knee. Cause like, that was the thing I struggled with like all season. I know I missed on a couple plays, like quarterbacks throwing in my way. And like, I had an opportunity like to kick it off, but like while I'm in the air, I'm looking down at the ground to figure out how I'm going to land. Cause I didn't trust the knee. So like, that's the main thing I just had to build out throughout the year, is just, all right, you've put your knee through all of this stuff. Like, your knee is strong enough. You just got to believe in it.
Wow, bro. And then you went to the Super Bowl again.
Went to the Super Bowl again, man.
Wow.
And then at that point in time, that was in the playoffs, where that's where I started to really get my confidence. Cause if you was to go back and watch the AFC Championship, I had a crazy game. I'm talking about a lot of pass breakups. Yep. I dropped the interception that I shouldn't have dropped. I mean, it ate me up, but I had a really good game in the AFC Championship, and then we made it back to the Super Bowl. And, I mean, I just did what I could do.
I wasn't starting at that time because the coaches, he felt like it was best for me to take a step back and play a lesser role because of my knee.
Right. But,
I mean, I just did what I can do.
Yeah, and it made a difference, though, man. I mean, you know, all due respect to your boy Sorensen, he ain't you. You know what I'm saying? And we'll talk a little bit more about that in your third season, because saw you this year, you know, the 2021 season. I'm like, all right, bro, it must be nice to be on a team that's perennial Super Bowl contenders every single year. I mean, bro, I mean, I was just happy to win some games when I was in Tampa, bro. So it must be reassuring to know that you got number 15 over there and he always gonna give you a chance to contend, you know, every single year. But as you rolled into 2021, feeling a lot better about self and ready to go, but seemed to be a little slow in getting out there. You know, folks are talking about, you know, what's going on? Why is Juan not playing? Sorensen's in the game. Juan's healthy. You know, seems to be some kind of tension going on. Tell us what that was about.
I mean, a lot of people, they were standing outside trying to look in, not really knowing what's going on. Like, so my second year, like I said, like the coaches said, they wanted to take some reps off of me so my knee would recover.
Right.
Then in the OTAs, I wanted to, like, sit out to make sure, like, my knee was basically, like, 100% going back into the season. And I don't really know, like, I mean, you can't really, like, win your position back if you're not out there on the field. So,
right.
Dan was out there throughout the whole OTAs. He was out there in camp. He stayed healthy, and he had a solid season my second year. So I feel like, personally, I feel like Dan deserved that spot. I'm not a selfish guy. Like, Dan deserved it. He was playing really well, and I mean, you can't take a guy off the field that was playing well at the time. You know what I'm saying?
And I get it, bro. I mean, you know, I guess for us as the casual fan, okay, well, maybe not casual because we know the damn game, but
a fan of Juan,
you know what I'm saying? We like, hold up, why the hell ain't he in the game? And so, you know, and I mean, bro, you know, I'm gonna keep that shit a buck. Yo, I'm looking out there and Sorensen is a liability. You know what I'm saying? He may have played well in certain situations, but he was a liability a lot, bro. And it was highly visible to the point they're like, all right, we're going at 49 because this is the matchup for us, you know. And so it's just like, then you come in the game, bro, and that shit gets shut down. So, you know, it was hard to watch it knowing the type of player you are and what you bring. And then you would see what was going on, and he was obvious the matchup, the mismatch out there. But I know it had to be hard, and I know you were supporting your dude, but it had to be hard for you to watch it sometime too.
I mean, you know, when you're giving up touchdowns, sometimes it's hard to watch. Like, you know, you feel like you can be out there and help in a certain way. You're not out there to help and eat you alive, but I mean, I really, like I said, I'm not the selfish type of guy. Like, I was just sitting aside, just waiting on my opportunity. Like, whenever I got on the field, I just tried to find a way to make a play. And,
you know, the game is all about confidence. Like, if you start the game off with an interception, the rest of your game is going up here. You're just going to play. You're going to play amazing. You start the game getting beat, your confidence is shot. And that's the thing I feel like what happened with Dan at the time is because –
I know he might have not said he paid attention to it, but it's hard to stay away from the negative talk. Like, even if you got social media or not, he felt the fans talking about him. He felt coaches,
like, losing confidence in him. So his confidence was, like, it was leaving.
So that's why I feel like played a huge factor in how he was performing.
But then all of a sudden, he started to make those plays again, and I saw Dan's confidence
come back. Like, he made him – like, it was me and him, I think it was in we was in Vegas playing against the Raiders, and it was a jump ball. And you know, I can jump.
He out jumped me for the ball to get that interception. When he made that play, I feel like his production on the field was just rising after that.
Yeah. What was it like playing with Tyrann Mathieu?
Yeah, I was about to ask the same thing. Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows the type of guy that he is, man. It was just. He's always hungry. He's looking for a way to, like,
better everyone on the field. Like, he literally wears his heart on his sleeve. Like, if he give up a play, you're going to know that he gave up a play. He can be pissed off about it. And he's just always trying to find a way to make everybody better, man. It was really good playing with him. I learned so much from him, like, while he was here. And he just, he helped me add things to my game to make me a better player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, like, because one, like, you coming out in the draft, and me and Cove always talk about, like, you're an athletic guy, and it's rare to see a guy with your athleticism play safety. Then you get paired up with a basically a mirror of you. I mean, he's shorter, but Honey Badge is super athletic, man. So versatile, as you say. He played with heart in the sleeve, his closing speed, just a playmaker. So I always felt like it was a luxury with both of y'all was back there. And, of course, I'm biased because you come from the U and your family, but I always felt like they had two – like, it was rare to have two supreme playmakers in the defensive backfield like that, man. So I know it had to be fun just, like, with the calls and the chest. Because we know Honey Badger like to do his Palomalu where he everywhere, and you that prototypical center fielder, man, with great ball skills from when you played corner and then your last year here at UVA. You were Honey Badger in a sense, because we talked about that at the reunion, man. So how was that, like, when you finally got in the game and you got to see that dude in action, then he finally got to see you in action?
So, like, when I was actually in college, I was a big fan of him. Like, I used to watch his highlights and everything. And then, like, throughout the draft process, like, I didn't think I was going to be playing with him. And then I saw that he signed to Kansas City. And I was like, oh, I ain't going to Kansas City. Just out of town. And then all of a sudden, I get drafted. And I'm like, I wasn't thinking about it at the moment. Then I was like, hold up. I'm about to be playing with Tyrann Mathieu. Like, this is a dude I looked up to. And it was, I mean, and then, like, when I got out there, like, OTAs for the first time, like, I was trying to be, like, perfect. Just, like, I'm going to show this dude I can ball, too. Like, I'm going to show him. Like, I know you a legend at LSU, but I'm going to show you I can ball, too. Yeah, So I feel like that just made me better, too. Because, like, whenever it came a time for me to, like, to cover one of these top receivers in practice, I was out there trying to do it just to show him, like, I'm just as good as you. Like, we're both on the same level. You can believe in me just like I'm going to believe in you. Like, you got to have confidence that I can do the same things that you do. And once you see that, I mean, we're unstoppable. Like, you have confidence in me. I got confidence in you. We're just going to take off and perform from here.
Yeah, that's dope, man.
Yeah. And it looked like it, too, man. It looked like the way that you two worked together, man. Mm-hmm. It was, bruh, it ain't nothing like that, man. You know, I think back to my rookie year when I was Marty Carter and I were two safeties that were drafted that year, and we were starting as rookies. And, you know, man, we out there just banging jokers, you know, but we were on the same page and we were young, but we did have some veteran dudes that kind of put us up on game, you know, that were really helpful, you know, and they could have been selfish. They could have been hating dudes, but they were veterans that really poured into us, you know, and really helped. You know, William Frizzell, I never forget him, bro. He used to just talk, you know, Mark Robinson, they used to just talk to us, man. Be like, all right, look, you guys, your time. And it meant a lot, man, to kind of have that veteran leadership. So I know that meant a lot to you, man. And it really helped elevate your game that, you know, those first, especially coming in as a rookie.
Oh, yeah, it definitely helped me. Like I said, he helped me in many different ways. Like, even with the ACL, he been through it. He was one of the guys that, like, mentored me throughout the whole process. Because, like, I didn't really have anybody there. I didn't know what to expect. That was my first real injury. So I was kind of scared about the situation. He was just keeping me up, telling me to stay confident. It's going to get better. You just got to stay with the process. So, yeah. Like, he definitely is a good guy that I'm happy that I played with him throughout these past 3 years.
That's dope. That's dope. Tell me about just when you're going against Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and, you know, Mecole Hardman and bro, what is that like in practice, man?
I mean, it's a track race every single day. That's how you gotta have your track spikes on every day going into practice, because you're playing against the fastest guys in the NFL every single day in practice. And I just feel like going against them is you're facing the best every day. With Patrick Mahomes, he's at the top of the chart at quarterback. Travis Kelce, top of the chart at tight end. Tyreek Hill, top of the chart at receiver. So you face against the best guys, not one of.
No, you're facing against the best guys each and every day. So when you go out here and cover any other tight end or receiver, you can do it. Like, it's easy because you already seen the best. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then you got Patrick Mahomes that's throwing the ball to these guys. I'm talking about
he's throwing the best ball possible that any quarterback can throw. And you got to figure out how to cover that. So when you
can find a way to stop that offense, you can stop anybody throughout the NFL. That's why I feel like we got so much better, because we was playing against the best offense in the league. And then we started playing against people that was below our offense, and it was easy to us, man.
Wow.
That's dope.
That's fire. So what are the expectations for this year? Losing Tyreek Hill, you know, got to revamp, need some pieces on defense. The draft is this evening, so, you know, I'm sure you'll be tuned in, looking at what y'all going to add to the arsenal. What are your expectations, and what do you see with some of the key losses that you guys have suffered this last year, specifically with the losing Tyreek Hill?
I mean, the expectations don't change for us. Our program, we're automatically, like, we're programmed to go to the Super Bowl. That's,
we don't shoot for anything less than that. We plan on winning every game.
I mean, we don't think we're going to lose.
We plan on winning every single game. We plan on going to the Super Bowl. But the thing is, though, like, we just got to bring in some guys that's willing to fit into this program. I'm excited for it. I mean, us losing Tyreek, it
hurt. Like, you don't want to lose a guy like that. Like I say, he's one of the best receivers in the game. You don't want to let him go, but, I mean, it's a business. So he had to go on and make his money and go get paid somewhere else. But
we're looking to add guys into our system that's just going to help us keep on pushing forward, not take a step back just because we lost a player, but we got – different pieces that we can add in and just make us better as a team.
Right. Yeah, that's dope. The ACC, the AFC is loaded with young quarterbacks, though. With young quarterbacks.
And Russell just came to town.
Yeah, bro. That gunslinger out of San Diego. With the Chargers. San Diego, with the LA Chargers.
He's showing your age.
Yeah, you got Russell out there in Denver now. You got that Josh Allen up in Buffalo. You got Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. You got, cool.
You can
Joe
go
Burrow.
Off an age.
Bruh, I'm like,
you can go off an age.
They've woken in another top receiver in the entire NFL in his day-going division, in Devontae Adams.
Oh, yes.
You got to see him twice a year,
man.
You got
to see that Joker twice.
Yeah, man, it's going to be real exciting. It's going to be the hardest year that I think I'll have to go, like, the hardest teams that I've had to play against. Like, right. The NFC West has been tough.
Right.
This year is, another level. They added Russell, like you said. They got Devontae Adams at receiver. They got who else they brought out here?
They didn't. The Chargers been loaded up on defense.
Oh yeah, the Chargers loaded up on defense with everybody on defense.
And then the Chargers offense already was real solid. They competed every game. Like, it's always like come down to the last few seconds of the game, but it's gonna be.
Yeah, Keenan Allen a good receiver, man. Yeah. Keenan Allen's a very good receiver, yo.
Mike Williams,
It's a bunch of good receivers in the NFL, in our division, but a lot of people
the Broncos got. It's not getting.
They got Judy.
Yeah.
And then they got I think Courtland Sutton. I think that's
the Courtland Sutton. Yep.
So they're not talked about like that. But then like another team with the Raiders, they got
Waller. Hunter Winfrey too.
Me personally, like, I've been telling everybody this. I've played against a bunch of these receivers. I still, to this day, think Hunter Winfrey is the best route runner in the NFL. That's a big statement, but I really feel like he is, man. Like, his routes is just different. Like, he know how to stop on a dime. There's a couple guys that's, like, really close to him, but if you're talking about just straight route running,
He's so crafty, man. He getting out his breaks. He don't got a lot of. He don't have that many. I don't think he has an indicator of what you know he's about to run. You just got to play him straight up.
Yeah, because you don't know what he's gonna run. Like, he make everything look the same, and that's when you become really good at receiver. When everything looks exactly the same, you never know what they're gonna run.
That's fine. Whew. So look, we're gonna flip the script and take it back to Alta Vista High School real quick.
Alta Vista.
We're gonna take it back, fam. Yeah, safety, quarterback, doing your thug thizzle out there, state player of the year and whatnot, quarterback of the year, first team all state defense.
I love it, man.
You just damn did it all, bro.
Hey, Cove, he's the first now. One disclaimer, I usually joke dudes, but I gotta tip my hat to him.
Yeah,
he the first dude. Curb was all right, but he could actually hoop.
Yeah.
He was Russell Westbrook out there. Yeah. He had bounce.
Like everybody to this day, like in my locker room, in the locker room still to this day, they always talk about they can hoop. I don't play, I don't be playing around her. So they don't really know that I can ball. I'm like, I'm gonna be right. Y'all not even like that. Like,
only if y'all knew what I would do to y'all.
Look how he talking, Cub. Yeah. Talk crazy, dude.
We used to see the YouTube videos, fam. Bruh, yes, you were dunking from the rafters. Bro, I was like, wait, what?
I tell him football on my first sport. Like, I won't pick in football. Like, when I was a freshman, sophomore, I was playing basketball in college. That was my mentality.
Yeah.
The only reason I really played is because But Gene was my biggest uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I'm going to take this football ride and I'm going to make some out of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was a hooper, man. True hooper.
And I learned the hard way, Cub, because he, you know me, he said, yeah, Hawk, I can hoop. We was about to, this is like when the walkthrough was first in this infancy. He was the first interview and me and him was joking on the lawn. He was like, pull out your phone. And I went to YouTube. He was like, check this video. I was like, man, that ain't you. Man, that was the first time somebody ever served me shut the hell up. Just I was like, yo, you got it, bro.
Bruh.
Like, he was dead serious. Like, oh, no, I can hoop. Like, he got serious. Like, get your phone out.
I'm telling you, man.
The way I think you was putting it on Joker's heads, bro. I was like, yo. Yeah.
Nasty.
Yeah,
bro, that wouldn't even fail. that shit won't even fail, bro.
They got to the point where, like, it would be people coming to my game just to want to see me dunk. And I'll get on the fast break. Everybody stand up like, uh-oh, what are you about to do? And I'll lay it up.
Oh, not the fillet, though. The jelly.
I just let up, man.
Yo, you dirty, man.
Yeah, man, I do that sometimes.
They spilled their popcorn and you did a layup.
Yeah.
So hold up. What's your vert? 40 what?
What you think it is? That's what I should ask you.
I'm gonna go about 42.
Man, come on.
Nah.
That's disrespectful.
It's 44.
Ooh.
44, and I promise, like, if I'd have had one more jump, I'd have broke the record. I'd have broke the record at the combine. I promise. I know I would. I was pissed off I couldn't get another jump.
Mm.
Yo, right. Something wrong with him, man. I need to check his. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that ain't fair, man. You could have gave some of that to your boy, you know? Like,
I used to work on it, man. That's all I wanted to do is have bounce. Back then in high school, I used to have these jumping shoes and everything to make you walk around on your toes.
I had them too. That didn't work for me,
Juan. it worked for me then, man. I don't know what it worked for. Those things work. I'm telling you,
if y'all listening, y'all need to holler at Juan because they work for him and he can endorse it. You know what I mean? He got that Zion bounce.
I had my first dunk in like eighth, I think it was like eighth grade. It was my first dunk.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, you an avatar.
Yeah, bro. For real, for real. So you said Virginia was your only major offer coming out of Alta Vista?
Well, I picked up Virginia first. But then, you know, like some of the smaller schools, they had like slide your offer just because you have a bigger school. So I got an offer from JMU and Liberty. Liberty weren't as big as they were, like right now.
Like Malik Willis putting them on the map big time.
Right.
But yeah, I only had Virginia, JMU, and Liberty. That was it.
Yo, that's crazy, man. Do you think it's because the Alta Vista was such a small, was 1A. Do you think that was it? And they questioned the competition level? Because quite honestly, bro, you're one of the best athletes I've ever seen. And, you know, bro, watching your whole career and covering the games, you know, I would say it all the time. I was like, Juan Thornhill is one of the best athletes to ever play at Virginia. So what do you think that's what it was?
Definitely, because we had some good talent out the Vista that like was overlooked
big time. And like for me, I feel like I was one of the luckiest, like just being completely honest. Cause like me in school, you don't see, you know how like in some of these 5A schools, you see college coaches walking in and out of your doors all the time.
Right.
Not at Alta Vista, you don't see that. Like that's why I feel like it was definitely because we were a smaller school, because coaches would drive right past Alta Vista to go to, like, let's say Magna Vista to Dan River where the Edmonds played. Like, mm-hmm. they had offers, like, from Virginia Tech and stuff like that. They drove right past us. They would go to Lynchburg, LCA. Y'all probably heard of that.
Mm-hmm. LCA, yep. Heritage. Like, all the bigger schools, they had to come through Alta Vista to get there. So,
but they just passed right by us, man, because it was a small school. They believed that there was real talent in there. They just felt like the talent level that we were playing against was like a joke.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't. It's not 6A, 5A football, but I mean, there's some talent in those smaller schools that's just getting overlooked all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it has to do with population. It ain't got nothing to do with talent. You know, not that many kids go to that school.
Yeah. Oh, you got 500 people in your school? I don't want to look at that. You ain't got no talent. Like, right. That's crazy, man.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's dumb. That's dumb. So yeah. Then you go to Virginia. You're like, cool. All right, Mike London. What was how big of a factor was? Who was your recruiting coach?
Anthony Poindexter.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Coach Dex,
the captain. Hey, man. There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
That was him. Yeah. And he played a huge role, man. I like Dex a lot. I don't think I've ever really told the story, but so.
Dex came to one of my football games. We were playing against a 3A school. So I'm a 1A. We were playing against a 3A school, and I think it was Rustburg. So I walked out. I'm getting ready to play.
And I see Coach Poindexter sitting there. Like, I try to act like I ain't see him. First, you know, that's how you go act. I try to act like I ain't see him. But in my mind, I'm like, I'm about to put on a show today. And honestly, like, the first half, it was probably one of my worst offensive games that I've had in high school. Like, I fumbled, like, all types of stuff went wrong. And I put on the show and all kinds. I fumbled and everything.
And then Chris Poindexter told me he was going to leave the game, but he wanted to stay to see how I handled adversity.
So he stayed, because we were down at the time. So he stayed and wanted to see how I, like, basically carried the team. I had one of my best defensive games in high school. Like, I'm talking about making crazy time, because at safety, I was playing at, like, 8 yards.
Hmm.
That tell you a lot. Like, I'm playing the post. I'm playing the half. I'm making tackles in the backfield from 8 yards. And then I put on the show because Coach Dex was there. And then I went up to a Virginia game, not because they brought me up there, just because I wanted to go. And Coach Dex called me over, and I was looking like, yo, is he calling me? Then he said, come here.
Then he said, man, I was at your game the other night. I mean, I like what I saw. I called Coach immediately, like, we got to have this kid on our team. And then that's when he told me he was going to offer me a scholarship.
Mm. All
right. Yeah, and who was you playing again?
Rustburg.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, when you got there that first year, man, you know, so I know we talked about the transition from college to pro, the transition from Alta Vista, 1A school, small population, you under-recruited. Did you feel like you could compete at that level as soon as you got there? Ready to play from the gate, or do you feel like, you know what, I might need to bake a little bit for a year just to get myself acclimated?
Well, when I first got there, we was under Coach Lennon, Coach Tenuta as defensive coordinator. And with me, I came from a small school, and in my high school, we didn't really play a lot of defense. We only played like cover three. I think
that was pretty much all we played was cover three.
Mm-hmm.
And when I
got to college, it was like, it hit me in the face, because I'm like, what is all this stuff? Like, they handed me a playbook, and I ain't never seen any of those coverages in my life.
So, like, with me, like, I'm the type of person that want to learn. I got to ask the coach questions. And Coach Tenuta, he was, like, one of them big-time coaches that don't really, like, lean on freshman playing. So, like, I'm sitting there in the back of the room, like, I got so many questions that I can't ask because, like, he was on my ass all the time. Like, if I say anything, he on my ass. So, I'm just sitting in the back like, yo, I got to learn this stuff. And I ain't really pick up on the defense as well as I wanted to. But when I knew what to do, like, I was out there as a freshman. I'm talking about, you probably can ask Quinn. You can ask all them guys. I was out there hitting. Like, they talking about the little practices. I was hitting in practice.
But I was supposed to. I remember there was multiple times where the offensive guys went off on me like, what you doing, man? You should be hitting on guys like that. I'm like, I ain't know no better. I'm just playing ball.
Right.
I'm talking about chopping them down, like hurting people. I ain't need to. But like, I'm just known to play full speed. That's me. And I was making plays too as a freshman. But we had Quinn at safety.
Yeah.
And then I think we had Calvin Rainey.
Yep.
They were two older guys, so it was kind of hard for me to take Quinn's spot. And that made Quinn play at the same spot. He was an All-American, dude.
Mm-hmm.
He earned his stripes. He definitely should be in there.
Right.
So, like, I basically sat behind Quinn for a year, watched what he did, and I liked what I saw.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. So then year two rolls around. You played a lot that first year. You didn't get redshirted. Came next year. You were starting. That next year, you know, talk a little bit about that.
So, like, we got Coach Mendenhall in my second year, and I was happy with that because I knew that a new coaching staff means that you got to work for your position. Mm-hmm. So I was real excited, but at that time, I think it was Quinn, and I think Rainey still was at safety that year. I think it was Rainey still at safety.
And maybe Brenton.
Brenton was the nickel, I think, at that time.
Yeah, I think.
And
we got new coaches staff and everything, but like Coach Mendenhall, Coach Howell, they saw me as a player. They was like, this guy really can ball, but like we gotta find a way to get him on the field. So I remember Coach Howell just telling me, like, well, I'm go out there and try to play cornerback. And I'm like, I don't play cornerback, but I'm gonna go out here and try it. So I'm covering people and I was kind of locking them down. The coaches saw it, I was like, yeah, we like this guy. We gotta find a way to get him on the field. So they kept me in that cornerback. And my first year, like, I ain't really know how to play corner. I'm just out there being an athlete. I ain't have no technique. Go back and watch the film.
I have no technique. I'm just running with people and jumping with people. That's all I did.
I mean, I did. I had like 3 picks that year. But yeah, I was happy with the coaching change, man. I feel like they definitely changed my life coming out there, put me in corner, letting me play early.
So when that time,
like, when my time to really be that leader, I was the leader that I was supposed to be.
Yeah, we knew you were a dog from day one, though, bro. But when you went from safety to corner, we were like, oh damn, he different.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
I forgot you was even a safety, bro. Because I know we're gonna, you know, once we transition, but I forgot you was even a safety. I thought you was just a corner now. Like,
I didn't forget. I was waiting. Listen, I was waiting for 4 years to play safety. I don't think you understand. I was like, man. I love Quinn, but I was like, Quinn, I can't wait until you leave. I can't wait until you leave so I can play safety again. Yeah, man.
You know, but I think you had to play corner out of necessity too, though. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? With the injuries and whatnot and your athleticism, bro. The coach said it. We got to get you on the field somehow, some way. And, bro, to jump in and play corner, which, what you know, isn't your natural position, and perform at such a high level at corner, bro. I mean, I couldn't give you enough props, bro, on a weekly basis, because I was just like, man, this dude right here is a stone cold killer.
Yeah. And you knew what to play to, too, man. Like, you one of the few guys that I see that you identify your limitations and you wouldn't shy away from them. So you like, I'm going to just play to my strength. Like you said, I'm going to just get up in you and I'm going to just run with you because I know you can't. I know I can run with you. And I know if it's a jump ball, I'm going to win. But you see a lot of guys try to be like, just try to just be living a lie. Like, you know, you're weak in this area, bro. Why don't you work away from that? You know, so I love that you say you knew you was raw. So let me stick to what I can excel at, and that's how I'm going to succeed for the time being.
And the thing is, like, a lot of people didn't see, like, I knew I wasn't, like, I wasn't that nice at corner. Like, I was fresh in there, never really played it. But, like, I knew, like, in practice, like, I would get work and sometimes in one-on-ones because I was trying to
work my technique. Like, I don't care if they caught the ball. I just wanted to get better at my technique. So, if you look from my sophomore year to my junior year, just my technique, you could see that I was just a better player. Like, right. I look like a corner in my third year in school.
Because, like, I would always push myself each and every day in practice to get better at least one thing. That's what I would do every time.
Yeah, and I like that, man.
Yeah,
that
indeed.
You said you work on your tech. You didn't care if you got fried because you was working on technique. Go ahead, because I didn't cut you off.
No, that you're right on it. You're right on it. Please continue with that.
Yeah, man, because a lot of times, you know, we talk about, like, all right, man, every day in practice, you got a goal, like, on what you need to work on forget the optics. If you're getting fried, you know, well, I'm getting fried because I'm working on this weakness. And the fact that you said that, man, that's a gem to a lot of young players and current players on the Virginia roster that's listening to this, because that should be your goal, man. Work on your weakness and work it with the live bullets versus just in drills, and then shy mm-hmm. away from it when you, you know, when you get that real work.
And that's the thing. A lot of people, they shy away from it because they don't want to get embarrassed. Like, they're scared of failure. Like, a lot of players are scared of failure to this day. Like, if you go out here on one-on-ones, they mess up in one-on-ones because they're so scared to get beat. Like, one-on-ones is practice. You got to remember that.
Exactly.
Like, this exactly. ain't the game. Like, it's you and your teammate working right now. Your teammate working just like you are. So why don't you work on something? Try to be perfect in your technique. Try to be mm-hmm. perfect in your hand placement, your feet. And that's going to make you better on Saturday
when the camera's on, when the lights are on, when all eyes are on you. Like, instead of how many people are practice, say 100 people at practice, but
then on Saturday, you're not ready because you ain't put in the work at practice. Now, right. now thousands of people seeing how bad you look
when you could have been working your craft in practice.
Man, yeah. you're making Cole smile.
I'm just gritted right there, bro. bro, you preaching the gospel. You are absolutely preaching the gospel, bro. You know, it's like, I remember that first year in the league, dude, you know, Ricky told me, he's like, look, don't get caught up in the losing. He said, every day, work on one aspect of your craft and watch what it does for you. And, bro, I took that to heart. And that's something I've imparted on a lot of guys that I mentor coming through. I'm like, look, work on one part of your craft. I tell my daughter, who is a lacrosse player, look, if you want to be able to go down the right side, have a move, work that. But work that same move to the left so they never know where you're going. Work, you know, work your stick work, work your footwork. Whatever you want to do, you go out there and work that, you know. And, bro, it's at every level, at every sport. You know, and it's so basic one when you tell people that they still don't get it. They get caught up in all the other things out there. Going against Herman Moore every day in practice made the game easy for me because we worked each other, bro. We wanted that smoke all week long because the game was going to be easy for him and it was going to be easy for me because we didn't already went at each other all week long.
Yeah. Like, still to this day, I still work with my coaches. Like, I haven't pressed in so long because that's not our defensive scheme. Like, our safeties play off. Mm-hmm. But, like, still to this day, like, last season, like, I would meet up with my cornerbacks coach and have him working me on the side on my press technique just because you never know. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can play every position on the field, like, something might go wrong and they might have to throw you at cornerback. And yep. I got to be ready. And yep. I got to be ready for when my name's called regardless.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Facts. Yep. Facts. Shoot, well, bro, you know, you had, you know, playing corner that third year, 12 passes defensed, 4 picks, and then your senior year comes around, they put you back at safety, your normal position, and, bro, 7 passes defensed, 6 picks, making plays all over the field, bro. Woo, how nice. You're like, all right, man, I miss you, Quinn, but damn it, it's my show now.
I already told you. As soon as Quinn graduated, I knew what time it was. I was so happy that I moved back to safety because I knew that was my natural position.
Right.
Did you unpack his locker for him, man? Did you move his stuff?
See, he probably didn't know, but I put his cleats in his bag a couple of times. Like, it's time to go, Quinn. It's time to go.
Dude, how did it feel though, man? To like when you got there that first year, you guys went 4-8. Coaching staff change, 2-10, then 6-7, going to a bowl game after several years, and then to culminate that with 8-5, going to the Belk Bowl and winning that, bro. How do you feel? Because you were a part of really turning the program around in a major way, man. You and Bryce. You know, Bryce really came into his own as well to, you know, you shutting it down on one side of the field, he shutting it down on the other side of the field, man. How was that, man? And what kind of feeling did that give you knowing that you had really helped take Virginia back to the old days?
I mean, it was a good feeling for me because, like you said, like, I've been through it all. I was there for that 2-10 season. And it was just good because, like, I can constantly see the work that a lot of people are putting in. I can see how better we were becoming as a team.
And then, like, you could see the progress. You could see us winning more and more each year. Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, that was a good feeling, man, just knowing that you were a part of the process, the true process, like, where everything was bad, and all of a sudden you see the program turn around. And I feel like to this day, the program is still getting a lot better, because I remember from my 2-10 season looking in the crowd, there wasn't nobody there. Like, we had nobody in the stadium. Right. And if you look behind you right now, just look at the stadium.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That ain't come from the 2-10 season. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of, that was not there.
That was the very next year you left, one versus Florida State.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, just watching the program change, not just my team that I was there, but I'm talking about the football program. And still to this day, I just feel like I look at all these other schools and how, like, the guys that leave come back and they're just welcomed back onto, like, their grounds and campus and stuff like that. And that's what I hope that Virginia football gets to that. And I just feel like I hope the fan base continues to grow. Like, that's the main thing with that, man. Like, I want to be a true part of Virginia football for the rest of my life.
And you will be. That's a brotherhood, brother. And you, did you get a chance to chop it up with Coach Elliott?
Nah, I didn't. Like, he was super busy, man, when I was there. Yeah. Like, he was doing his signing and everything. And I didn't want to, like, come in between the fans and him. So I just let him do his thing. I know I'll be back and I'll catch up with him.
Oh, yeah, we'll get you back with him while you and KC. We can get that done for us.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, for real.
He wants to talk to him, man. He wants to talk to him, like, for real.
And that's the difference, bro. He has tasked us to say, look, y'all get the alumni back. You know, because he's like, look, this is y'all's program. You know, he said, I'm just in the seat. He said, I can't do it without y'all. You know, he said, y'all being around shows these young guys what legacy is like. You know what I'm saying? Y'all can impart wisdom on that. You know, as coaches, we can give them a certain thing, but y'all have been through the wars on this field, you know, and they respect that. Y'all have that credibility. So I need y'all here. And so I haven't felt embraced like that in a long time, you know, and guys felt it. They felt that energy. They felt like, damn, they want us here. And it's been a long time, quite honestly, brother. So, you know, we got to get you back. When you can come back, bro, you make sure you let us know. Hey, yo, I'm coming to town. So we make sure we put that together for you, brother. Because he want to chop it up with you, man, for sure.
Yeah. Because I knew I liked him as a coach because, like, I think he was hired. And then maybe, like, a couple days after he was hired, he had shot me a text message. I was like, a lot of new coaches wouldn't even do that. They didn't even try to do that.
Yeah,
he really went out of his way to get in contact with me. I said, all right, I already like this dude.
Yep. Yeah, indeed.
He's a genuine dude, man. You like him. And I know we're about to wrap up. So I wanted to say this to you, Juan. I don't know if you realize this, and I said this during the spring game before everybody played. Like, when you look at Virginia football, man, and Cub can tell you because Cub played in a great secondary. Anytime there's been very good football teams here, it's been standouts at the safety position. And I just want to give you your flowers, bro, because you carried out you talked about Quinn and what he did. You were next, and you kept your legacy going. And then Joey had to step in there. So now, you know, Antonio Clary got to step in there as well. But, dog, what you did coming in, playing corner, then jumping right back into safety and coverage, your numbers off, man, and now in the NFL and talking to you over the years, man, your mindset, don't ever let nobody change that, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, so, because you can be a guy that can actually, you could afford to be lazy because you have so much God-given talent and athleticism that you don't have to have that focus that you have. The focus that you have is a focus of an undrafted free agent. So keep that focus, bro, because you special, man. And people are going to start to see what we see. And we'll keep being your PR people on these Twitter streets and letting people know.
Facts. I appreciate that, man. Facts. I appreciate that for sure, man.
Yeah, bro.
Well, shoot. Well, fam, before we let you get out of here, man, we use the end of our segment with something called Shut the Hell Up, I'm Underdog. And what that is something that gets under your skin. It really bothers you, but you're like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to overcome it anyway. Holla at it.
Man, the biggest thing that gets to me is when, like, no matter how good of a game you have, like, in the NFL, college, high school, there's always going to be somebody there trying to pull you down. Like, that's the thing, man. Like,
Let us have fun. Like, why you always have to, like, bring out the negative side of everything? Let us have fun. Let us enjoy our good game. You ain't got to always try to be the person that's shooting down everybody's happy.
You know what I'm saying?
Indeed, indeed. Like we ain't the hardest on ourselves anyway. We already think about the things that we could have done better.
I know.
Let me be great though, damn it.
Yeah, let me be great, man.
Hey, that's what you're trying to kill me. Don't you think I know that?
Well, fam, we sure appreciate you giving us some time, man. And bro, we wish you nothing but the best. Look forward to seeing you again. Can't wait to watch you get your thug thizzle on this fall, bro. And know that we always be watching, fam.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
Make sure everybody tune in. Kansas City, Washington too out there. Ball out.
No doubt, bro. And I know you got some merch. So how can folks get at your merch, get at your socials? Bro, how can we do it? We want to make sure we pub it up.
You can get some of my merch on my Instagram and Twitter, I think. The link is in my bio.
Okay.
If you search Long Thorn Harry, it should pop right up.
Okay. That'll work. Yep. We'll make sure we push that out there, fam. Yeah, and I need to get that. I need to get me some of that deuce gear anyway. So you know what it is.
I got you.
I'm going to go to the Instagram ASAP and make sure I get my purchase on.
Yeah, I'm definitely
all support. Right, man.
Appreciate you, my guy.
Grab all of it. That'll work.
Well, fans, this has been another episode of The Lockdown featuring T-Cub and the Ball Hawk.
Uh-huh.
And special guest, former Cavalier great and Super Bowl champ, Juan Thornhill. Until next week, we are out.
And he can actually play basketball, unlike these other dudes who be lying.
Straight busters. Appreciate you, fam. Go get that good Kyle practice session.
Love you, bro.
All right,
love you, my guy.
Love y'all, man. Y'all take care.
All right, baby. All right.
Thank you, man.